This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 223. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson, who is finally home. Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
It feels good to be in Canada. Sorry, America. I'm glad to be home.
As you should be. If you weren't following along on Twitter, it was, a disaster for Mitch trying to get back into the country.
Just absolute nightmare when it comes to getting a test. Not even. I got three tests already. Three tests in the last, 72 hours. Because if you don't know, to get back into Canada, you need to provide a negative COVID PCR test. So it's the molecular one. We go right up into your brain. 72 hours before you hit the border. And so I had one done in New York City and the results didn't get posted before I left. But I thought, you know, they're going to get posted. Why wouldn't they? Turns out these things break. Apparently they just broke my test and didn't bother to tell me. I had to call them and really stress hey, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. Oh yes. Yes. And they had to check and it was broken. So you need another one. I'm in Plattsburgh at this point. It just was not working. Anyways, I got one done. Obviously, I'm here in Canada finally. I'm glad to be back. I had a good time, but we'll get to that in a later portion of the show. How are you doing, Matt?
Fully recovered. Voice is back. Yes. Thank God. That was brutal. Was good enough in time to go to the game as well. The voice is back. Things are trending in the right direction for myself. Mitch is home, so things trending in the right direction there. As far as the team, it could not be any worse right now, Mitch.
No, we've recovered. They have not.
No. So that's what we will start today's episode off with, because as of right now, you know, this isn't a math podcast, right? We've established this multiple times. 30% of the Islanders roster initially has tested positive with COVID. Seven players is 30%. And you also have Ryan Pulock, who since last time we've spoken is out with a lower body injury 4 to 6 weeks. And oh, by the way, Brock Nelson, who's leading the team in points and is your second line center, is out 2 to 4 weeks. So everything and anything is going wrong right now for this team.
It's all bad news. All of it is bad news, right? Like you said, we've got Pulock out for 4 to 6 weeks. That's a long time for your number one right-handed defenseman. Then you got your second pair or second line center gone. And like you said, top point getter, top goal scorer, plays in every situation. All three, 5-on-5, plays the perfect Barry way. He gone. And then you add all the COVID outs, right? So Josh Bailey isn't back till at least next weekend, apparently.
Yep.
That's insane. And then now we've got Bo's back. Green. Pelech, Chara, so our entire defense is gone. And I know some people are going to be cheering about that, but you really need to check your head if you're happy that someone caught COVID. Come on.
Yeah, I did see some of that on Twitter, which is awful, but unfortunately that's what happens. And Anders Lee to go to the forwards. Anders Lee, so top line left wing, gone. Ross Johnston and Kiefer Bellows, gone. And there's one more that I think we're missing.
Josh Bailey, I guess.
And Bailey, yeah, there you go.
That's a lot. That's a lot of absentees for this team at once. And we're still playing games. As far as it stands right now, we're recording this on the Tuesday because there's supposed to be a Wednesday game. They're apparently playing the Rangers. They've already played the Calgary Flames and they've already played the Toronto Maple Leafs and potentially exposed both of those teams to COVID. Right, that only stands to reason. Chara was playing in both of those games, and Bo was not. Bo only played the Toronto one when he was. So you're exposed, and it's clearly around everyone in the team, and you're exposing those two teams. Now you're going to potentially expose the New York Rangers to it. When does this stop? When is there a magic number where they're like, "Yes, you've hit the magic 10 players on the list. Ding, ding, you get game postponed." What?
Yeah, I don't get it, because clearly it's it's out of control, obviously, as more it wasn't one or two guys got it and it was an isolated incident. No one else on the team got it, so they continue to play. It was Josh Bailey and then everything under the sun after that. More and more bodies started to fall. So it's clearly out there. And like, that's the thing that I'm so frustrated with the NHL about is claiming player safety, right? Like, that's one of the things that they're trying to do. And when it's the enforcement of the new rules of the game and taking, you know, headshots out and fighting out and all that stuff out of the game, great. And then with COVID, it was, okay, we want to keep these guys safe. That's why we're promoting the vaccine and we're doing testing. And all that stuff is well and good. But when you have guys, asymptomatic or not, whatever the situation is, they could still pass COVID on and they're going to be continuing to play games, and this could spiral into a league-wide issue if they don't shut it down.
Absolutely. Well, 100%, right? You're sending Calgary back to Western Canada. You're sending Toronto back to Toronto and wherever else, I imagine, on a little bit of a road trip. And then you got the Rangers coming in, and they're going to go other places too. Like, we've seen how this spreads. And yes, they're all vaccinated. Well, I believe most of these teams are. We know the Islanders are 100% vaccinated. I believe the other teams are somewhere very close, if not 100% as well. But that doesn't prevent them from getting it. It prevents them from, you know, getting severely sick. And it might protect them from getting it to a certain degree. But like, I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to speak to that science. But it's clearly spreading. It's clearly doing that. What are we doing if not exposing others? Like you said, like if we're all about player safety, shut it down for a couple of games. What do you have to lose? I get Calgary. I get that first off because there's the home opener and the list wasn't as severe as we're seeing it now. Also, you've got a Western Canadian team, you know, sending them back to New York later on in the year is kind of hard to do. But the Rangers, like, they're right here. You can make up that game a lot easier.
Yeah, without a doubt. That one seems like a no-brainer. And especially today when that number reached 7 and hit that 30% threshold, that's crazy to me. Like,
a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And then you add the two injuries on top of that, like, the Islanders have no competitive, they're at a complete competitive disadvantage. And I know that the injury thing's different. I'm not equating the two, but it's just, it's too much. What's the point where enough is enough? Apparently they haven't reached that, which I know you don't have an answer to this. It's just my frustration coming out now is how bad does it have to get before they do something?
And like, I think that's the question on everyone's mind. Like, how bad does it have to get for the NHL to go like, you know what? Yeah, now this is too much. Guys, we have 7 players on the list, plus let's not even count the injuries. 7 players on the list. That's already a lot of players gone with COVID. What are we doing here? What, it has to be 10 at that point. Like, half? It's got to be half. What are we talking about? The 20, it should be a third. No more than a third, but you know, I don't think you can get an exact third with 20 players, right? It is not dividable. So like 30% is pretty damn close to a third, right? Like, we're right there. You can't have an extra half player to round it up. So like, this should be the threshold where you're like, no, let's get this down. And it's not like 7 players at once either, right? We're talking about 7 players since the Florida game.
Right.
That's a long time. You've had X number of days. I forget the exact number of days here between the Florida game and now, where players keep on getting added and only one player has come off.
It was Tuesday.
It's been a week. It's been a week of continuous growth. Come on, guys. At what point were you like, nah, we got to stop this? It just doesn't help anyone. And then you're bringing up other guys who are also getting exposed to it.
Right.
Like, at what point, like, now you're not only impacting the Islanders and the other NHL teams, what about these guys that come up? So you got a guy come up, and then if he goes back down because someone came in to, I don't know, came back off the list for negative or something, or just, you know, the time elapsed, he goes back and gives it to the Bridgeport Islanders. Well, now you've got an AHL thing. Like, it's just growing and growing and growing. Why don't we just stop it for a couple of days? Why the hell not?
Right. And who knows? Maybe after 3 days, guys start to test it, because that's what you need. You need more, you know, negative tests to start rolling in, and these guys can come out of the protocol. So, yeah, why don't you shut it down for, I don't know, when's the Islanders' next game after tomorrow?
I was on the same wavelength. I'm bringing up the schedule right now. The next game after tomorrow is on Friday. So you got another 2 days after that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
so like that, but that gives them time, right? If they play Sunday and Friday, that would have given them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to fix everything. Maybe not fix everything. That's not what I want to say. To get players off, hopefully, obviously, because they can't just like fix it with a wand. But that gives them an extra 2 days. That would be Wednesday and Thursday to effectively, hopefully, get players off of the list. And you've only had to postpone one game against the team that is just across the river.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense not to. It really doesn't. So I'm not sure what else the NHL is waiting for.
No, absolutely not. And, well, unfortunately, it's not just the COVID issues. It's on top of that. They also they're down now two other important pieces in Ryan Pulock and Brock Nelson, which we talked about. That's your top four right-handed defenseman. I would say top pair, but they've kind of switched up the pairs. And yeah, your second line center, who happens to be leading the team in points. And it's just like, how much more can this team possibly take right now?
And the thing with those two guys going out is that you don't have obvious replacements for them, right? Like, Noah Dobson has to step up to be the top right-hander. Cool. Then who do you bring in? Grant Hutton? He's been okay, but...
It'll probably be Salo, and a lefty's going to play on the right side.
And it'll be Salo. So, like... sorry. It sounded like I was echoing what you were saying because I didn't hear you. I agree. Salo will be the guy playing on the right. Just sorry. The way I said it sounded like I was trying to like say what you said. Anyways. And then at center, who moves up? I guess Peugeot, but then who's coming in to take Cizikas' spot if he also moves up a spot?
That's the thing. Like, I don't know. It's a domino effect. Do you move Anthony Beauvillier back to center? I wrote something yesterday about lines with the injuries and everyone who was out with COVID. And that was before the Chara news today. So he was included in my lineup. But I moved Beauvillier back to center just because I don't know what else this team could possibly do right now to try to generate offense.
Yeah, it's honestly not just moving up the fourth line to play third line minutes. It really isn't. I love the fourth line, but you're not gonna squeeze blood out of a rock with this one. You just won't. So it's not like let's call up Cole Bargeau to be now the new fourth line center. Yeah, cool, that's a good fit. But again, now you've got two fourth lines. That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
And like one fourth line that's significantly worse than the first one.
And like at times in Peugeot's Islanders career, you could absolutely say he could plug in as a second line center and be fine. But for whatever reason right now, the points aren't there. So it's not like you can just go in and be like, oh yeah, that's our 40 point second line center. No, he's not playing at that level right now. You can't really move him up. So I forget what I did. I might've ended up going like Golishev, Bo, Palmieri or something for the second line.
Yeah, I think honestly for the Islanders, it's going to have to be 11 forward, 7 D. Just roll three lines, two subs, and you're able to like, and by subs, I mean guys who can come in and pull minutes off of someone else depending on the situation. And then same thing with the D. You just run guys, and this is the time to find out what you've got.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to get to that in the down on the farm section. This is the time to find out what you've got. And the Islanders are trying to do that, it seems. So they're trying to do what they can, but they're really kind of stuck with the situation they're in because it's not just one or two players they've got to plug in like we see the Pittsburgh Penguins do every now and again.
Yeah.
This is, they've got two full lines basically out.
It's not good.
Not good at all. What is good, though, is the new home.
Yes. So let's transition. We had to start with, you know, obviously the big story this week was the losing streak continuing, but part of the reason for that, the COVID and injuries. So let's get into UBS. The Islanders played two games at home. We were there for the home opener. Mitch, what overall thoughts? I know we've talked about this a lot in the last two shows, but obviously a huge story, but actually going and being there for it. Takeaways.
It was surreal. It really was. I've got my flag behind me, my other shoulder, that one there, sitting there. It's a really big flag, the one that they gave you when you walked in the door on the first day. It's a meaty flag. It's not some like cheap little thing. So they went all out on that thing. But they really, that place, that arena, that home is absolutely incredible. And we could talk about all like the little, oh, they got space and the team shop is nice and this and that and the other thing. It was just a perfect place to watch hockey. There is nothing, there is no negative about it. None. Even like people are, oh, there are still lines for the bathrooms. Well, that's what happens, right? Like when everyone's going at once, there's going to be a line. Did you get through that line pretty quick? Heck yeah, you did. It took like 2 minutes. It would have taken 10 times that amount at the Coliseum.
Right. To me, my biggest takeaways, I'm going to start with the pot. That's 99.999% positive. I'm very picky with my two critiques, and they're very easily fixable, by the way. But with the positive, as soon as you walk in, it just felt like bright. Like the lights were bright, and then you go up the stairs in the main entrance or the escalator, and you see like the Islanders Wall of Fame right there, and it's very Islanders centric. There's Islanders all over the walls. You didn't necessarily have that in past places, so it very much so felt like a home and our home. And it's not like we're sharing it with, you know, an NBA team, because in a lot of cities, even if there's only one team, like I don't know, for example, the Flyers, there's only one team in Philadelphia, but they share that building with the 76ers because, I mean, it doesn't really make sense to have two arenas, one for a basketball team, one for the hockey team. But from this Islander space, it's only theirs. It's not like you see like, oh, there's some Knicks/Nets, whoever you're sharing it with, and Islander stuff. No. It's only ours, which is just really cool. And the amount of bathrooms, the amount of places you can get food or drinks, it was really, really cool to just go there and, you know, experience all that. Two quick negatives, quote unquote. I'm using negatives in air quotes here. I want to get your take on it, and then we'll get more back into just overall takeaways. And both are bathroom related. Number one, a shelf above the urinals to put a drink on. Mm. So when you're going to the bathroom, easy fix. And pumping like the sound. So like, I don't know, Chris King, like on the radio call of the game going on in the bathroom while you're using it. That's it. And that's very, again, I know it's nitpicky, but that's my only two gripes.
Yeah, so then you're not missing a second of the game and you're being completely bombarded by Islanders hockey. It's still not done, right? It feels to me like it's as done as it needs to be to have live games, but it's not 100% complete. Like there's still some work that needs to be done to totally finish it off. And I think those two suggestions are great. There's really not a whole lot of negatives. I've got two, but I'm going to save those for the end there, obviously, because let's talk about the positives. The Great Hall was great.
Yes. If it lives up to the name, you just go in and it's, I don't know, I felt myself just like looking up like a little kid, just looking around and taking it all in.
Yeah, the parking situation was pretty good, actually. When I drove in for game one, thank you very much for free parking. That was incredible. Yes. Now we drove right in, parked, and at the end of the game, we waited a little bit. We went into the team store, and by the time we were done at the team store, the line was incredibly long. We went right out onto the highway. Done. Like, honestly, like, out right away. No line, no nothing. We were out of there, and we were home within 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I didn't go to the team store after the game, so there was some traffic getting out, but once I was on the Cross Island, it moved very, very quickly. But, yeah, and I liked that it was free for the first game, too. That was a nice plus.
Yeah. The Heineken Lounge was my favorite place to be.
That was really
outside
cool.
Of offside.
Yeah, being at offside, having offside there was really cool. But the Heineken, it just looked really, I don't know, it was nice. Like the whole building it's just, it doesn't feel like you're at a sports venue. It's just, it's a really nice place. The food was excellent too.
So that's one of my negatives is the
really?
Food.
Okay.
Yeah. So because there are a few vendors that were really good and a few others that were clearly generic where you didn't see any lineups. But the Shack Chicken was a hit because the lineup for that was ridiculous every time. I was there for both games, every period. There was always a super ridiculously long line for the chicken. So good job, Blue Line, and Shack Chicken for that. Yep. I did not have it. I wanted to, but like the lines was just way too long every time. Next time, I guess, maybe people will be, I will have it and be tired, and so I'll probably be able to get it.
There you go.
But they need more vendors. They clearly need more, and not just, that's not that they didn't have any vendors, but more specialty vendors than just kind of like buy a hot dog type of thing, right?
Gotcha.
They need more of that. One final positive before I get to the negatives. My second favorite thing in that arena, and even I think is my first favorite thing, is having the Isles Meetups logo over the tailgate bar.
That it's one, it looks really cool. Just like the tailgate bar itself looks really cool, but that's such a nice touch too for the Islanders, like to give a shout out to their fans like that.
And it's predominant, it's big, it's loud. You see it from the ice. It's incredible. I love it. I thought when they did the initial renderings, there was big blown up pictures of famous moments in Islanders history. This is 1,000 times better. We've all seen the Bob Nystrom goal. We've all seen it a million times. NFT or not, we're going to know what it's going to be like for years and years and years to come. This is incredible. Having the Isles Meetup logos right there, reminding everyone that even when you leave here, there is still a connection to wherever you're going to this team. My last negative is the train.
Not good.
Coming in, not bad. And maybe other people, I've seen other people have different experiences, but when I left the Toronto game to get back to Manhattan, it was not a good time. Not a good time at all. We just sat there waiting at the arena and then ended up missing the connection at Jamaica to Penn Station because we just sat there at the arena. Meanwhile, there was another train there. I don't understand why they did that.
Yeah, I don't know. For myself, where I'm located, taking the train doesn't really make sense for me. And I think most people, especially on the South Shore of Long Island, will find themselves not taking the train to the game. But for people coming from West, so from the city or Jersey, you're much more likely, obviously, to take mass transit. And there's got to be a better way, because how long did it take you to get home? Back to the city in 2 hours?
It was insane. It was super long and expensive. It's really expensive, right?
Yeah.
It's what, if it's off peak, it's $12, I believe. And I think that's rounding down.
I thought probably 18 and 20, I saw.
Right? That's so much money. Well, I don't understand. Yeah. If they want to incentivize taking the train, and Ryan as champion this, why don't they have like free ridership if you buy a ticket or some sort of rebate? You bought a ticket, here's 50% off minimum.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Some kind of
rebate incentive to take the train.
A good point too that not only Ryan, but I've seen other people bring up as well. So if you drive in, you're paying one price per car. Obviously, so if you have four people in a car, you're only playing, let's just use round numbers, $20, let's say. But if you and four friends go and take the train, each one of you has to pay the $20. So that is de-incentivizing it that way. So in order to, I guess, maybe even just make up for it and make it even, quote unquote, some sort of rebate would make sense, I would say.
Absolutely. But the big takeaway for me is that it felt good to my soul, not just being there physically in the building, and I'm sure other people will have the same takeaway here, is being there with everyone in the building. I saw so many of you listening that came up and talked about the show, or talked about me, talked about Matt, or people that I'd already known beforehand. Just hanging out with all of you in person felt so good. It really warmed my heart. Like, I don't see a lot of people. I don't live on the island. I don't live in New York. I live pretty far away. So my main interactions with everyone, and honestly, I'm a blogger, so I literally stay in my basement every day, is virtually. So to see everyone in person, Oh, it was chicken soup for the soul right here.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I mean, we've done 223 episodes of this, and I've known Mitch for 5 years, but I could probably count on two hands how many times I've seen Mitch live in the flesh. So one, just hanging out was awesome and always loved that. But yeah, just we were at Offside before the game, and we were just talking to people, or even just, you know, walking around and bumping into people. It's just, I don't know, it was awesome. So really appreciate, you know, the love and support there, and I wish we could do that more often.
Yeah, I really do. It's on Monday they're getting rid of this COVID thing, at least at the border, so it makes it a whole lot easier to get to New York for me. So yeah, ideally I'm going to make more trips, but I'm going to take a little rest for now because it was kind of a stressful one this time.
Completely understandable. Oh my God, I'm still at a loss for words how bad that was.
It was not fun, but more coming eventually. I don't have anything figured out, but I do. I have to bring the kids, because like every time I tell them about New York, I live in Ottawa. There's no concept of the kind of infrastructure that exists in New York in terms of just buildings. They have no idea. I tell them about like, oh, there's like a 50, 60 story building everywhere. And they're like, the hell are you talking about? Buildings are at least two stories like our house, and that's it. And there's no traffic. What do you mean traffic? They have no concept of what New York is even like. I can't wait.
Well, while I did not like that you experienced your experience coming home from obviously driving, but also the train, that even just initiates you more as a Long Islander, because your hate for the Long Island Railroad grew, which we all Long Islanders loathe the Long Island Railroad. So you are now even more so one of us.
Yeah, eventually I will get the Long Island tattoo, I'm sure, but I have to go through all the rites of passage before I feel comfortable getting it.
There you go. So with that, shall we get into some down on the farm? I know some of our guys we've talked about a lot are actually up here, so I don't know if it counts.
Yeah, we have a lot of guys up. And so what I wanted to do right now is just talk about I broke it into two sections. I called it weak and strong. Weak and strong. I don't know why I couldn't say that word for some reason. And what I'm trying to do with that is we're getting an audition with what we've got in terms of the prospect pool now. And what I mean by that, again, to further clarify that, is we're getting a sense of who's in the Islanders organization, who's ready in their mind now and who isn't. And to me, the guys who are quote unquote ready now, not many of them are actually ready at all. And probably won't ever be.
Okay, so that's not promising.
It's not. It doesn't look good. And I don't mean Robin Salo here. That's one of the few guys who they feel is ready now, but is doing well. But when you got guys like Andy Andreev is up, not doing great. Grant Hutton is fine, but like...
The fine might even be nice.
Yeah, it's fine even for a bottom pair defenseman. Can he play at the NHL level? Probably. He's replacement level. Don't even, if anyone's going to say he's going to be a top four defenseman, stop. Stop.
No.
Stop. It doesn't look like it. And it goes on. Everyone who's come up, you're like, cool, you've done very little. Very little. So we'll see as things go forward. But then when you look at the guys coming up, there's a lot of promise. These guys who aren't quote unquote ready yet, right? So like, we got guys like Aturatu, obviously, or Simon Holmstrom taking big strides this year at the AHL level. He hasn't been called up. Anatoly Golishev has finally been recalled recalled from his loan in Bridgeport. So he should play against the Rangers. We'll see what he does. This is a guy they're grooming for a top nine forward role at some level. And what I mean by level is as can he competes in a third line role, second line role, or even top line role. I think it's going to be the first one rather than the. I think it's going to be a third line role, not a first line role. But hopefully, it's the better option of the three. But we're getting a sense of what the Islanders' prospect pool looks like in terms of quality. And if anyone thought like, "Oh boy, we're going to find some gems here," no, not necessarily. Maybe eventually in a couple of years we might find some, but even then, some of those guys, there's no one outside of like Atu in the prospect pool that we haven't seen play at the NHL level who projects to be something at the NHL level in terms of a top end player. And by that, I mean like a top six for a forward.
Okay. Not even Simon Holmstrom?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's kind of sad considering where the Islanders took him.
At best, middle six player for Simon Holmstrom.
That's okay. I kind of figured that, but I don't love hearing that. I want to see Golishev play, and I think he can be like a middle six, like a third, maybe second line player at best. I just don't know, like, when everyone does get healthy, who he is coming in for and sticking for in the everyday lineup.
Well, that's the thing, right? He's got to outplay someone. And so the guys he's got to outplay are anyone ahead of him. He's not going to outplay the fourth line, which is always weird, just because he's not going to do Cal Clutterbuck. He's not going to be like him. He's not going to be Matt Martin, that's for sure. He's like 5'6". He's not a very big player. He plays hard, but he's not physically imposing in terms of his stature. So that means he's got to outplay one of the top six guys. Okay, well, is it going to be Lee? No, it's captain. He's not going anywhere. Is it going to be Palmieri? I have a hard time believing that. Parise? Okay, maybe. But he's got to score. If he doesn't score, then no. But if he starts putting in pucks, sorry, Zach. Like, I think Zach has been, pardon me, one of the better players for the Islanders in terms of consistency and work ethic.
I agree.
He's playing hard. He plays well. And he's doing it every night in all three zones. But we still need goals. And if he can't put in goals, cool. It's great that you got an expected goals for a 67 or whatever it was. It's probably a little bit lower now, maybe like 55 or something. But we need actual goals too. And that's not happening right now.
Am I still crazy with specifically Zach Parise and to a lesser extent Kyle Palmieri? I really feel like that any day now that's just going to change and the goals are going to start coming.
They're not crazy. It should. Will it? We'll see. We've seen Anders Lee shoot at 2% on the power play for an entire season. So yeah, we thought that was going to change.
That still doesn't make any sense to me either.
It did change, but like the next year, not during the year. So he's going to have to outplay someone if he wants to keep a spot. I don't think he's going to be able to do so. He might be able to outplay Kiefer Bellows for the 13th forward spot. That seems feasible.
Yeah.
But he's got an opportunity coming up probably against the Rangers unless they postpone the game. But we'll see what he does with it. That's where we're at right now with the Islanders prospect pool, is that the guys who they feel are ready aren't anything to write home about. And the guys who aren't necessarily ready yet seem to be pretty darn good. And what I'm referencing here is the Aturatus. Bodie Wild even is doing better in Sweden now. Simon Holmstrom seems to be doing well. Otto Koivula is doing well. Arnaud Durandeau as well. These are all guys who are, I wouldn't say ready, but are banging on the door to be like, yo, can I get a chance at some point? And the Islanders just aren't there yet. They're still relying on their, we're going to trust veterans first. That's why you got guys like Andy Andreev up there. And then we'll go from there. But honestly, like, you're missing 7 to 9 guys. Like, bring up Simon Holmstrom. What the hell do you have to lose at this point? Let's see if he's ready. Give it a shot. What do you? You've got nothing to lose.
I guess you're right. And this is off topic, but what you said sparked something when you were talking about relying on the veterans over some of the younger guys. One player who we haven't mentioned, who I thought actually looked pretty good in two games, is Richard Panik.
He's been fine. Some people are going like, he's great. He needs to stick. And I'm going like, please no. He had a good shift on the power play, which was, you know, manna from heaven for him. He's been okay. But that's good, right?
I don't think, again, same with Golishev. Like, I don't think he is taking anyone's place. But for, like, comparatively to Andy Andreev, give me Panik any day of the week. Or even 13th forward, I would take Ponick over both Bellows and Ross Johnston at this point.
Absolutely. And we don't have to worry about the cap, right? So, like, why not? Yeah, he's more expensive than most of these guys, but we don't have to worry about the cap, so it doesn't matter. Definitely. As in terms, I think he's outplayed Kiefer Bellows as a 13th forward, sure. But that means they got to waive him, and I don't think they're going to do that. But either way, we're getting to technicalities here. But has Ponick been good? Sure. But I think that comes to the overall theme of what we're seeing right now. In this tryout window that they have unfortunately been in for the last couple of days because of COVID and stuff, the product that we're seeing and the potential isn't, no one stepped up from the prospect pool to be like, oh damn, this guy could be something outside of Robin Salo. And even then, Robin did not have a good game against Toronto.
No, yeah, he wasn't particularly great, but really, no, nobody was.
No. I honestly, like, there was the second and third period against Calgary where they played well. Robin Salo played very well, and then, and, like, even then, like, he played okay against Toronto, but he had that one really dumb mistake, and that was about it. That's Senka's game right there.
Yeah, that's true, but, man, it's just, it goes right back to what we were doing at the beginning, the tough spot the Islanders are in right now.
Yeah, and through no fault of their own-ish. Like, the what I mean by that is the fact that they have players out is not their fault, obviously. But the guys that they're calling up to kind of have a look-see, I don't understand. I really don't understand why they brought Andy Andreoff up when Matt Martin was healthy. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
Great point. I don't know.
Or Cal Clutterbuck for that fact. If you got a hole in the fourth line, yep, call up Andy Andreoff for sure. You don't call him up for a third line role. He's not great defensively. He's good offensively at a replacement level, but that's it.
Yep.
So he's demonstrated that his entire career. No knock on him. He's a much better hockey player than I am. There's no question about that. But when it comes to the NHL level, he's a replacement level player that they put on the third line. I don't get that.
Yeah, no, me either. I don't quite understand that decision either.
So that's it when it comes to down on the farm.
All right. So shall we get to the quiz then?
Let's do it. So as we do every week, we have a mystery New York Islander for you, Matt, and you at home to guess. You have 5 clues to guess who it is. They get progressively easier as we go. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
First, I was born on Valentine's Day.
Next.
2, I was a 95th overall pick.
95th would be third round, right? Or third or fourth round. Okay, don't have a guess yet, though.
I played with Pavel Datsyuk once.
Is it Golishev?
It is Golishev. Okay. Good job.
There we go.
I thought I'd throw you off there with, like, oh, is it an older player? I don't know. Oh, God. And it kind of is a little bit older, but, like, yes, it is Golishev. And went then from clue number 4, I've got a neck tattoo. Probably would have given that away right there and then. And then 5, I have to score goals because it's in my name.
Okay, that I would have gotten it then. I didn't know Golishev has a neck tattoo. That I didn't know.
He's got a little neck tattoo. I don't know what it says, but he's got a neck tattoo here. It might be his son's name or something. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I haven't looked at it, but yeah, he's got one right there. I don't know how Lou feels about that, but maybe he's going to have to wear a Thomas Plekanec turtleneck.
Yeah, he might have to turtleneck it up like he's on the Yankees or something.
So, good job by you. It was Anatoly Golishev. I brought him up just because he's being brought up.
No, that makes sense. I figured a Russian connection, and then, I don't know, process of elimination kind of got it for me there. But
yeah, he played with Pavel Datsyuk on Automobilist just last 2 years there.
Beautiful. Shall we get to the social?
Yes. Here's Shang Peng, saying, report, Friedman says San Jose Sharks will retain salary to trade Evander Kane.
No.
But would there be any take?
Yeah, no. No. Sorry, I'm not going to even let you finish it. No, please.
And so that's the point of me bringing it up. Like, if anyone's like, well, maybe, don't. No. Do not. There's no Lou Lamoriello is laughing hysterically at the thought of an Islander fan thinking of maybe bringing Evander Kane in. Mm-mm. It's not happening.
No, thank you. Yep. I want no part. Wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Not at all. That they can retain as much salary as they want. It's not going to be worth it.
Nope. My first one comes from Barzikas on Twitter. And it says, no honking, eh? Hashtag Isles at UBS Arena. And it is a train coming in to the Elmont station. And the train horn is doing the Let's Go Islanders.
Yeah. There was no policing on the honking or the tailgating at all in either lot. So it's just going to grow from there, which is fine. That's what we all want. The tailgate was half the fun, really. The fact that there wasn't much of a tailgate on either days kind of bummed me out a little bit. Cause that was the fun times. That was the great times.
Yeah. I think we got to kind of get our sea legs before we figure that out, you know?
That was kind of my mentality as well. Once I was kind of like getting over the bummed state going like, well, it's day two in a new arena where they went out of their way to tell us not to do it.
Right. So I think it's kind of going to take a little bit of time for us to figure out like, okay, what is and what isn't acceptable. And then it'll become more the norm, I guess.
Exactly. My next one here comes from Isles territory. I think we all know who they are. It is not hyping up one of their incredible videos that they make. It says, can't prove people wrong without people counting you out.
That was a great
gif of tapping their head.
That's true, because right now, well, a lot of people are counting the New York Islanders out. So if they were to do something crazy, then I don't think many people would buy it.
Right. So keep in mind what they have left ahead of them. Yes, it's still early-ish in the season, and Thanksgiving is going to be in a couple of days. Happy early Thanksgiving to you, Matt.
Thank you.
I was bombarded with cable TV Thanksgiving and Black Friday ads when I was there yesterday.
Oh, I believe it.
In my hotel room was which was a whole thing. I watched a lot of Oxygen, by the way, which made things a whole lot worse for me because every hotel room that they showed on that network was the exact hotel room I was in. The exact one.
So they got it right is what you're telling me.
They got it real right. Anyways, and so happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Appreciate it.
So what do you got?
My last one is from the New York Islanders official account, and it says, you can write home in ink this time, Brendan Burke. And it's a video montage of he's reading his open from the first game, which if you haven't seen that, go out and I was going to say read it, but now you could listen to him pretty much narrate a video from the first couple of days at UBS, and it was a great video if you haven't seen it.
I actually haven't, so I will now.
There we go. So before we go, you didn't have anything else, did you?
I have one more. It's not wildly important, I guess, but it's from Everyday Isles. Not that they aren't important. They obviously very, very much are. And they have a picture here of Jordan Eberle, and it says, Jordan Eberle still rocking his Isles mouth guard. In a live game, they're down at this point of the picture 7-1 to the Colorado Avalanche. But regardless, he's got his Islander mouth guard still.
Represent. All right. Love that, Ebs.
So good job, Eberle. Good job, Everyday Isles. And sorry, now you may do the plugs.
There we go. So before we go, wherever you get the show, please make sure to subscribe, give a rating or a review. That really helps us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. Mitch is over at TLO Mitch, and I am Matt O'Leary NY. Facebook is facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You could visit the Eyes on Isles website, download the fan-sided app, and get us there. And last but not least, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. $5 a month. You can become a patron, get bonus content like post-game shows, after every game, a mailbag show, which we're about to do, and a Discord channel, which is a lot of fun.
It is. There's all kinds of stuff. People are trying to help me out. Like, where are you? Are you are you in Plattsburgh? Are you this place? I was in Plattsburgh the entire time, and Plattsburgh is fine. I really just stayed in my room the entire time I was there.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't think there's a lot going on in Plattsburgh.
I didn't even want to. Let's just leave it at that.
That's going to do it for us on this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.